Hello and welcome to lucky episode number 7 of the Book Wars podcast. Today we're going to be talking about chapters 24 through the end of Bloodline by Claudia Gray, our happy New York Times bestseller. I'm Kate and I'm here with Chris and Kristen. And what are we drinking today, you guys?
What are you drinking, Kate?
I'm drinking... Chris, what did you buy at the store? Like, literally 15
Kate minutes. And I are drinking a... It is called Stay Orgosa from Atlas Brewing Company in Washington, D.C., so a local brew company. Also bought at local brew shop in Arlington, Virginia.
Yo, you guys will not stop drinking Gosas right now. It's all Gosas all the time over there.
Really obsessed with sours right now, and it's not
good.
Healthy.
Problem. No.
I almost bought something called an ice cream porter, which was delicious, but Kate wouldn't have drinking it, so...
Yeah, those are good though. Like you can like literally make ice cream floats out of them, and they're
oh yeah,
super
that sounds
tasty.
Amazing.
So I would highly recommend doing that if you ever need a dessert one night. Mm-hmm. And I'll crack it now, but I've got a 32-ounce can, so a crowler sized beer from one of my good friends' breweries. He's the brewmaster over at Grixen Brewing Company in Portland, Oregon, and this is their Belgian Blonde. So this has been sitting in my fridge for probably about a month, and I need to drink it. So it's usually you pour it into a glass, but it's this podcast, so I'm gonna drink it right out of the big giant can. I'll tweet out a picture so you guys can see it because it's ridiculous.
Wonderful.
That sounds great. Somebody told me the other day that apparently it's actually better for beer to be in a can, like it keeps better in a can, and I don't buy that.
Versus what?
Versus a bottle.
Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me, because I think...
I don't know, I feel like whenever I drink beer out of a can, it, like, tastes like the can.
Well, yeah, but it's... It depends on what you're talking about by quote-unquote keep. Anyway, we can talk about this on our separate beer podcast, Chris. This is about Star Wars.
We will have to, yes.
We're trying to talk about Leia and Han right now, so...
It's true. We are.
I'm gonna let Kate start that discussion because she has a lot of feelings about Leia and Han.
I really do. So, as y'all know, in the section of the book, we actually get Han not being just on the phone or, you know, via... Hollow or whatever, but he's actually in the book and diving in to save the day. Not that Leia usually needs saving, but you know, she was in kind of a sticky situation, about to be gunned down on a platform by a bunch of Amixian warriors. And just listen, I am so happy that despite God knows how much shit they've been through their marriage, and like, you know, Leia makes a point of saying that they never really grew out of bickering with each other like they did when they were younger, that they still have that same chemistry where they're just, like, they're just fluid. They're just a team, you know? They'll just go in and shoot down the bad guys and then go home at the end of the day and, you know, just be super adorable and married. And we've talked about this before, but I'm just so, so glad that the people over at Lucasfilm Story Group didn't take the easy way out and decide that they had a really rocky marriage, because they're both really strong-willed and they both have really strong personalities, but they actually do manage to work really well together, and there's just so much obvious respect in that marriage now that it's matured. You know, both of them are very much into the idea of the other one doing whatever they feel their calling is and what makes them happy, and I think that's, you know, I would think that's a sign of a healthy and successful marriage, speaking from personal experience.
Correct, but in this case, do we think that that was also the reason for their demise? As we know, it does not go into it in the book, but we know from episode 7 that Han and Leia are no longer together, and we get all those heartfelt scenes, and Leia, you know, feels the force within her when Han gets murdered by their son. Whoops. So I don't know whether or not we wanted to dive into speculation about why they broke up.
I don't know. Is it not like canon that is it not clear that they broke up because of Kylo Ren? I kind of felt that was pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, just my own sense of it. Not that they've explained any of this so far as I know, but, you know, Han used to be a smuggler and he's very used to running away from his problems, or at least that's what his old habit was. You know, you can see that in episode 4 when they finally get to Yavin and he's about to take off with his reward money. You see it when he's fighting against himself in episode 5, like, because he knows that Jabba's after him and things like that. I think he just kind of, you know, you at a certain point, you are who you are, and you can very easily fall back into old patterns, whether they're good or bad, and I feel like he was just like, bye.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's just kind of who he is, like, because, you know, like, whenever we're in, like, a moment of crisis, like, you kind of just fall back on what you know, and I think he even says that, so, like, I don't know, to me, I do love that it shows, like, the good moments, because, like, you have that moment in episode 7 where, like, Han's like, it wasn't all bad, like, some of it was pretty good, and Leia, like, is like, yeah, some of it, and they, like, kind of, like, smile conspiratorially at each other, and it's, like, it's adorable, and we, like, actually see that, like, obviously their marriage isn't, like, 1950s, like, 2.5 kids in a white picket fence, because they're Han and Leia.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's great, and they, like, so clearly love each other, but it's also, like, they, like, also can't be in a room with each other for more than 2 weeks at a time, because they'll murder each other.
Yeah. It kind of, like, it had an air of, like, when two CEOs are, like, married to each other, and you're like, do they even see each other? And they're like, oh, no, our marriage works, like, really well like this. We're, like, never in the same place for more than, like, a week at a time. I'm like, huh. I don't understand what that's like, because I'm a person who just, like, needs to be around people at all times, so that's not necessarily true, but I like to be around the person that I'm, like, with, like, right, physically in the same place, as if I'm this is what the podcast is about me and my emotional needs.
Pizza's Crying Corner, episode 3.
Oh my god, always.
But yeah, no, I mean, the scene where, like, Han swoops in and, like, you don't know it. I mean, you don't. I felt confident that it was Han, but you don't know it's Han until, like, just, like, an unnamed racer swoops in and, like, shoots down one of the First Order ships, or one of the Amexine ships, and, like, saves the day, and then you, like, go into the cockpit, and it's Han, and, like, Leia just, like, immediately sits down in the gun turret, and it's just, like, it's a cheerworthy moment.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't stop thinking about, how fucking cool it would have been if that was, like, an on-screen bit. This was one of the times that, like, because we've talked, you know, through all of the episodes, I think, so far about how the book formats have really served the stories that we've been reading. Mm-hmm. And I think this especially had a little bit more, I don't know, like, when we read the first book, I'm like, it is called Rogue One. No, it's not. That's not
Rebel Rising.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
If it's not clear by now, recording this podcast with me, that I'm terrible with names, even of things that I love the most in this world, like Star Wars.
You kill me.
It should be. I mean, even in Rebel Rising, there was a lot of, like, fight scenes and whatnot, but I never really, like, thought about how cool they would be cinematically, because I was like, okay, I know, you know, what a lot of these would look like. Whereas this one, I was like, this is something we've never seen before. This would be so dope to see, like, what they would do with this if it was actually, like, part of a movie.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, if a fucking Han Solo movie ever gets made, I would really love to see Han actually, like, doing some racing. That would be amazing.
Yeah, wah, sure. Wah.
So,
Also, just small tangent on Han Solo. Whenever we get around to reading the Han Solo comic miniseries that came out last year, I think, we actually find out how he got his start in racing and, like, how he got interested in it. Because, like, obviously his history pre-A New Hope is as a smuggler, not a racer.
I'm so excited.
So we will actually get to see Han racing, and that's actually one of the very few... I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of the miniseries. I love the ongoing series. The miniseries, I can kind of take or leave sometimes, but the Han Solo one's actually fantastic.
I'm That's excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Have you read that already, Chris? I assume you have.
I have. I have not read all of... I've read most of the novels. I have read all of the comics.
Okay. Got it.
What is my role on this podcast if not to be extra as hell, Kristen?
No, I mean, we're all extra in our own ways. That's why we're here. Gosh. And Star Wars brings us together. One last point about Han Solo, unless someone has another one after I'm done this one, then not a last point. But, I mean, I think I agree with you guys that he sort of reverted back into his old ways when he left. But I also think, like, he felt guilty and responsible for making Ben into Kylo Ren by, like, not being a good dad.
I mean, yes.
He hints at that, obviously, a little bit in episode 7. But I think that's really... Well, that's interesting, right? Because it's like we've seen guilt before work on him when he's like come back and saved the day, and you know, especially in A New Hope. But I think this is like a different sort of guilt that he feels like Leia could never forgive him, and he probably thinks that she blames him.
Yeah, I mean, it's deeply
don't
personal
they talk
for him.
About that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, they talk about that. I'm like, I haven't actually watched episode 7 in a while, which is out of character for me. But
right, no, that's a really good point though, because I mean, I think that they actually, and I don't think we ever went into this, but they talk a little bit about that in Bloodline about how like Han like becomes like a father figure to these racers like Greer, and like really becomes their mentor, and like develops a close relationship with them in a way, like from Leia's perspective, in a way that he never really did with Ben. And I feel like that's like him like trying to make up for it. I don't know. I feel like I want somebody to write. I realize that they probably won't until the Skywalker saga movies are done, but I want somebody to write that book.
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier, and we're going to talk about Greer a whole bunch in our wrap-up episode for Bloodline. But I think I have mentioned before that it kind of feels like Han found it a whole lot easier to connect with Greer and the other younger racers because he inherently had a lot more in common with them. Like, when people are characterizing Ben, a lot of it is that they're really bringing out the fact that he's a Skywalker, right? He's extremely powerful in the Force, and he went off to go train with Luke, and I assume he did that at a pretty young age, and I'm wondering, you know, judging by how really raw his Force powers are in 7, how much of a danger to himself and other people he was when he was a kid. And so, you know, obviously it's hard for Han, somebody who just chalked up the Jedi to, you know, quote-unquote, some hokey religion, to really kind of get down with that, or at least I assume so. And yeah, I think that's where a lot of his guilt comes from, absolutely.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean,
so much intrigue. So many unanswered questions that are added to in Bloodline about Han.
I'm going to hold my tongue and try not to talk about Greer, because I know we're going to talk about her in the wrap-up episode. But obviously, like, all kind of Greer feelings came up in this section. We figure out kind of, like, quote-unquote, what's wrong with her and why she left racing and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
and
for Bloodburn like, being a really rare disease, we are, like, 0 for 2 so far.
I mean... absolutely.
So sad.
I mean, but like it makes sense that that's like a pivotal plot point in some of these books. It's like,
yeah,
you know, these characters tend to find people who love to pilot, so you know.
Also, I mean, Star Wars is super happy all the time, and nothing bad ever happens to anyone.
No. No.
Especially not directors.
Oh God, Chris. He said especially not directors. Maybe we'll talk about that too. I don't know when, because it has nothing to do with anything, but let us find a way to figure it out.
This is out of control. Anyway.
I'm sure they'll do like a tie-in book to the Han Solo movie. We can rant about it then.
Perfect.
Actually no, I'm gonna leave it at this. There's nothing to rant about. Kathleen Kennedy did absolutely the right thing, and we're moving on.
Hot takes. All
right. Shots fired.
Right along.
I can lead us into the next section.
I didn't know what was happening.
Sorry. No, I thought you were about to, and I didn't want to cut you off because that is a typical white man move.
Love you.
I know, you do such a good job with that, Chris.
Yeah, well, and I got to claim credit for it, too. I got the best of all worlds.
Oh my god. Asshole.
Anyway, next thing we wanted to talk about was, like, you get this dichotomy when, like, reading about Leia and hearing about her life from her point of view, of her as a child of Padme and Anakin, which, like, obviously, like, factually is correct, but, like, just, like, kind of psychologically and emotionally, that really comes into view what those kind of two competing parts of her, of her, like, parentage are, and, like, because, like, her parents were really fucking different people in a lot of ways, and so, like, you
like
definitely...
Like, her two sets of parents, you mean?
No, I mean just straight up Padme and Anakin.
Oh, sorry.
Like, oh, no, her different sets of parents were also very different, but, like, I'm talking more really? Of just as, like, looking at her mother and her, like, her biological mother and father. Like, so on the one hand, like, it, like, kind of feels like she relates more to Padme, because, like, she's the politician, she's the reasoned one, she's all about doing her duty. She, like, is, like, definitely has that rebellious streak that, like, that we associate with Anakin, but obviously Padme has that too in Attack of the Clones, which, I know, we're done mentioning it. But...
Jesus.
Yeah,
but, like, you do...
ran about that, listen to earlier episodes, we talk a lot about hashtag free Padme forever.
Free Padme. But yeah, so, like, we do... Like, the comparisons to Padme are pretty obvious. Even as Lady Carice says, she is, of course, royal by blood. Like... It just makes sense. Like, it totally fits that she would be related to Padme. But, I don't know, like, I definitely, in this book, got a much larger sense of her as being Anakin's child. I don't know how you feel about that.
So, I agree. Go ahead, Kate, sorry.
No, okay. So this is actually a really interesting debate that you'll find among the Star Wars fandom, especially on Tumblr. Don't at me. But a lot of what the common thinking about the Skywalker twins is that Luke is a lot like Padme in that he has a lot of compassion and kindness, and of course, just like Padme, Luke insists that there's still good in Vader. Whereas Leia's more like Anakin in that, you know, she's passionate, she's really impetuous, she's a little reckless, you know, jumping straight into that crash chute, hopping on a speeder bike, all kinds of, you know, on Endor, all that kind of thing. But Chris and I, well, you and I have debated this, you know, offline as well. But
I love that Kate just called this a conference call. We'll talk about it offline, thank you.
No, but I'm serious. Like,
no,
whatever.
I know. I'm just
Kate. I'll connect with you later, and we can hammer out the details there.
Oh my god, I'm gonna
don't forget to touch base with me.
No one touched bases. Oh my god. Anyway, so anyway, Jesus Christ, I just completely lost my train of thought. I hate you guys so much.
Padme, Anakin, Leia, Luke.
Wait, but this one is
Chris just named the character.
Jar Jar Binks, Qui Gon.
I love that you guys are, you can tell that you guys are married because Chris just literally said the names of three characters in Star Wars and Kate goes, oh yeah. I have my point now. Thanks, Chris.
Shorthand, it's good. Anyway, trying to say 5 minutes ago, was that what was really interesting to me in this book is that I really got a better sense of how both Luke and Leia are really like, you know, they, of course, they resemble both of their parents. We have talked before about how Luke, you know, eventually the way he saves Vader and returns into the light side is through feeling, right? It's mm-hmm. through that sense of love, but also him having to, like, push away his anger and deal with that same trial that Anakin had, basically, and failed. And of course, Leia's a politician, and that requires you, at a certain point, to try and hold back your hot-headed tendencies and have a little bit more of an even keel, things like that. And that's the end of my ramble.
No, totally agree. I see both sides of this, right? I'm somewhere in the middle, I think, probably between what you and Chris think. But I totally agree with Chris that it came out a lot more in this book, especially when, what's the water planet called?
Sibensko.
Sibensko, thank you. Especially when they're on Sibensko and we have the last scene with my very bad boyfriend, Rinriven Dai, and Leia just, like, pulls all kinds of Anakin moves and just is like, I think I probably know, like, what will work. And she's just like, I'm gonna just flood everything. And I loved the foreshadowing because we get her thinking about, like, the way the tunnels were built and whatnot before that. And that was obviously foreshadowing after, you know, after the fact, we know that. But it was also not out of character in Claudia Gray's writing for her to add those details. So I thought that was really fun. I was just like, oh, like, good foreshadowing without totally realizing that it was foreshadowing. Like, this is a YA book and you didn't make it completely obvious what was going to happen. But sorry, that was, I don't know if that was condescending or not. I was appreciating it, whatever. I just don't want to offend anybody, and I want Claudia Gray to know how much I like her writing and like this book. But I loved that scene. It was, like, very badass that she was just like, hi, I'm Anakin's daughter. Watch me take this one shot that will never work for anybody else, but I'm going to take it and it's going to work.
Oh my God, tell me about it. I was screaming at that
point. Yeah.
It was perfect.
Now, I just, like, Kate, I totally, like, agree, and I will own up to, like, being the person who, like, argued that I didn't necessarily see as much of Anakin in Leia based on the movies, because, like, I don't know, I feel like in the movies, like, Leia's always, like, represented as being, like, very strategic in her decisions and, like, knowing exactly what she's doing.
Except for the trash chute. We talked about this on the last episode.
The trash chute, the speeder bike on Endor. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you can definitely, like, second guess those ideas and be like, that may not have been the best idea, but, like, I feel like she's, like, often represented as knowing what she's doing, or at least, like, having a plan, whether or not it's a good one. Like, I feel like she always has a plan. Whereas, like, this book did a really good job of, like, a lot of times she doesn't. A lot of times she's just, like, angry and, like, does shit. And, like, that's very Anakin.
Totally. Yeah.
Anakin, colon, angry and does shit.
I mean,
also, can I just
hashtag
say
where's
that,
the lie?
Oh my gosh. We all have this long-running joke that one of these days we need to go back and rewatch the Clone Wars cartoon and count exactly how many ships Anakin destroyed. I'm pretty sure Leia bested him completely and totally 10 times over by blowing up Sabinsko.
I know. I was thinking that too. I was like, she also doesn't mind crashing things.
Seriously.
Speaking of an Anakin move, blows up an entire fucking city. This is fine.
I know, right?
I gotta go. I know, I loved that part too, and it was like,
like, were there any fucking sand people there or something? Like, shit.
Oh my god. There, one of those tunnels was just filled with sand. I get it. I love it.
But you know what? It no longer gets everywhere.
You know where it is? It's all over the back of my car. I almost texted that to you guys before this. It's like, man, there's so much sand in the back of my car right now. Which, like, wouldn't
fear leads to anger, Kristen.
Anybody else.
Anger leads to hate.
But it is... will never not be funny to us. I could have just texted you guys, oh my god, there's so much sand in the back of my car, and Chris would have immediately responded either with a meme or just saying I hate sand, and Kate would have responded I hate both of you. It would have been great. Yep.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's why I'm friends with you guys, because you're
exactly,
you are extra. Anyway. Oh, the one point that I wanted to make about them blowing up Sabinsko was how cool it was to, like, see Leia and Han fighting together. I was like, oh shit, they're like a fucking power couple / team / force over here. Like, Leia obviously, and she touches on it a little bit. I mean, we talked about Leia and the Force. What episode did we talk about that mostly in? Two episodes ago?
Hang on.
Four or five. Oh, he's gonna get out.
spreadsheet, guys.
That would be episode 5 in when we talked about chapters 10 through 17, according to my handy spreadsheet.
Great. So I was correct in my memory. If you want to hear us talk more about Leia and the Force and what we think about it, go to that. But I really kind of loved the callback when she was like, I don't know if it's like the Force or what it is, but me and Han fight really, really well together because I know what he's going to do before he does it. It's like, yeah.
Speaking of power couples that fuck shit up really well together. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. I can't wait to read New Dawn.
She can't wait to talk about Kanan and Jarrus. And
Harrison Dula, his thank you. Twilight maybe wife? I don't know. Anyway.
Who knows?
Space concubines?
Yeah.
Ew! That's so fucked up!
The ship name of their ship is literally Kate's name in our Slack. Isn't it Kate Nara, right?
It's Kate Nara.
Yeah, okay, so we know what that's about.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm actually pretty pumped to read that too, just because, like, I mean, for some reason, me and Kate have been talking a lot about Rebels this week, and it will, like, tangentially, at least, like, characters and whatnot from Rebels, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I bought those, even though that was, like, a super extra move, and Disney made them $1,000, like, it makes everything $1,000, but I'm glad I have them, because I would like to go back and kind of rewatch, like, especially some of the last half of the last season before the next season comes up. It's so good.
I mean, that's
yeah, Rebels is great.
The rewatch value and such, like, on Star Wars is, or like, you know, reread like or everything. Replay. It's amazing.
It's awesome. I need to rewatch the Clone Wars. I think I might watch them in order this time, like chronological order.
Ooh, that sounds
fun. Yeah, because the first two seasons do that stupid thing where they just, like, skip around.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I love the Clone Wars, but that was, like, the stupidest storytelling. This is why we don't let George Lucas do things anymore.
I know. No, like, but that was also dumb. Like, don't get us wrong, all three of us love the Clone Wars, and if you haven't watched them, please watch them. They're on Netflix, they're great. We love them, and we will reference them until we die, and I love all the clones. They're all my husbands.
Oh, absolutely. Clone Wars is phenomenal. Like, the episodes and the arcs themselves are amazing, but if you've watched it, then you know, like, the first two seasons, there's basically no coherent timeline, because George Lucas just, like, takes one plot from one, like, series of time, then goes, like, 6 months in the future, then goes, like, back to a direct prequel to the first plot. It, like, it makes no sense. It, like, it has no coherent structure.
We'll have to do it and, like, post the order that we best think that they are consumed in, because a lot of
it's on Wikipedia.
There are a lot of, like, blog posts and, like, whatever that are like, here are the essential Clone Wars, but knowing us, we'll be like, here are the essential Clone Wars, and by that we mean all the Clone Wars in the order we think you should watch them.
Yep.
Because a lot of the quote-unquote essential ones, like, cut out a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, don't cut out anything. You get the good along with the bad. That's Star Wars.
Honestly, if you want to watch, like, literally the entire series in the correct chronological order, they have the full lineup on the Wikipedia page.
That's what I was referring to.
That's what you were gonna say. Of course you were. You guys are perfect. Never mind. Never mind. Don't listen to me. They've been doing this for longer than me.
Anyway, at some point we were talking about Bloodline, and then we got off the rails. At least our off the rails had to do with Star Wars this time. We're making progress.
Hey.
We are growing and evolving.
You were literally trying to get me to go off on a tangent about canned beer earlier, and for that I blame you, because I would have done it, and I reined it in.
Fair. Very fair.
I have a lot of feelings about beer of all cans and bottles, etc.
Very fair. So the next thing we want to talk about, I think, is kind of the concept of family that we, like, get a real sense of in Bloodline, and, like, one, like, big conflict that you see a lot of is, like, the concept of Leia's chosen versus inherited family. So, like, obviously the direct, like, the easy comparison here is Bail Organa versus Darth Vader. They are a little bit different.
Only a smidge.
Slightly.
One murders the other, you know, it's fine.
Oh my god. One murders children. One wants to adopt children.
Oh my god. I wish I, like, knew all the lines of the prequels so I could say what Bail says. There's, like, a whole Tumblr pages that are just Bail Organa saying this one line over and over again about how he wants to, we've always wanted a baby girl, etc., etc. And it's like one of my favorite weird niche memes, and I suggest if you like Bail Organa that you go search them out, because they bring me the greatest joy.
I mean, I'm just saying, saying that Princess Leia documentary just like got all its Kickstarter funding. I think we now need to Kickstarter Bail a Star Wars story.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Chris, all you want is for fucking Jimmy Smits to be on screen for two fucking hours so you can
like more Jimmy Smits in Star Wars. That was like one of the best parts of Rogue One, that Jimmy Smits was in Star Wars. It was fantastic.
You like screamed in the theater. It was great.
Yeah, I did. I mean, not as much as I did in the last scene, but
there was a lot of screaming throughout the theater, if you know what I mean, in the last scene. Anyway,
mostly coming from the screen.
Anyway,
back to Bail versus Vader. So like,
we do talk more about Jimmy Smits in the last episode.
You should listen if you're a Jimmy Smits fan.
Love Jimmy Smits.
I know. Kate and Chris both yell at me for asking who would play him.
And they scream Jimmy Smits at you repeatedly.
Anyway. Third time.
Chris, go ahead.
Back to Bail versus Vader. Like, you do have this, like, obvious dichotomy between the two, because, like, Leia considers Bail to be her father. Like, she makes very clear her father is Bail Organa. And, like, I don't think anybody would really deny her that. Like, because, like, obviously she was raised by Bail Organa. She, like, at no point was she raised by Darth Vader. Like, she never had any contact with Darth Vader at a point when they were aware of each other and, like, in their connection. But, like, you also, like, can't ignore the fact that Darth Vader is her biological father, and just, like, the weird position, like, aside from all the political fallout, the weird position that puts Leia in as a member of the Star Wars universe, and having these two, like, fathers who are on just the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Also, like, I bet that would give me really complicated feelings, just insofar as, like, now she has a name to put to, like, what she's been feeling as quote-unquote the Force, to just like mention episode 5 again where we talk about that, but that must be like super complicated, because she has this like quote-unquote super sensitivity, as I'm assuming that she probably like or like super perceptiveness, as I bet she kind of looked at it as before she understood that it was probably the Force. And I bet that she like really valued that. Like, she could probably walk into other than her like actual intelligence and her political, you know, savvy and all that stuff, she also had this like added layer of understanding people's feelings and empathizing and in a way that not, you know, other people who were not Force sensitive couldn't. So I'm wondering like how much that had to do with it, because I would probably like really value that about myself, and then I would find out, oh, it's because you were like born of this fucking monster, and I'd be like, oh shit, I have a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, but I completely agree with that. What I was gonna say was actually related to that, so not tangential at all, is that, you know, if you think about it, a lot of the success of the rebellion in the original trilogy has to do with Leia being Force sensitive. You know, she's got great instincts, obviously. She made a great senator even when she was 14, you know, like Keek said. I think her ability to be super perceptive probably had a whole lot to do with that. And obviously, you know, on Bespin, when she had to go rescue Luke for hanging off a fucking antenna, you know, obviously it helped to know where he was.
Turn around, I know where Luke is. I just watched that. I've just been, of course. I don't know, I've just been in the mood, for some reason, I've been in the mood to watch Star
Wars. For Star Wars. and then at the same time, you know, a lot of her other gifts, which she maybe considered even more significant than the ones Anakin gave her, are from Bail. You know, her extraordinary compassion, her sense of duty, her need to save people and do what's right for the galaxy. That's all Bail.
Sure. I want to know more about her adoptive mother, Bail's wife.
Oh, I want to know so much about Brea.
I feel like we'll get a lot about her in the upcoming, actually by Claudia Gray, actually now that I think about it, the upcoming Leia, Princess of Alderaan.
Oh, thank God. I'm so excited.
That's not out yet, right?
No, yeah. It comes out in September, I think.
I can never tell because it. Chris uses, I feel like we'll get more of, both for things that haven't come out yet and things that he's read.
So, that's true. I am a dick like that. I'm like, I'm very, know. Like, I,
he's very, he's
self-awareness.
Very
I'm pedantic
his.
As shit.
You're, no, well, it's, I wasn't making a comment about you being pedantic. I was going to say you're very sensitive about, I'm like really sensitive to spoilers about the books for some reason, which is absurd, but it's probably, I think it's probably because it's so easy to avoid them because, I mean, nobody's reading them. I mean, everybody's reading them and they should listen to our podcast, but I mean, you know, I'm not surrounded by people who are telling me what's happening in them.
Sure.
So I do appreciate Chris's, you know, now that I'm thinking back, I listened to episode 6 today and I was like, oh, he is very like nebulous about his description of the next time we see Rinriven die and he obviously knows what happens. And then I like read it and I was like, Chris, you bitch! Like in a good way. Like, thank you for not telling me.
Yeah, it's funny because I can't keep secrets for shit, but except spoilers.
It's because you're soft bread.
Yep.
Cinnamon roll, it's wonderful. I also can't keep secrets, so it's fine. It's true. Positive about us.
You're both.
Yeah. Fine. I don't know, kind of getting back to like the chosen versus inherited family, like one thing that like really struck me about Leia that I like wouldn't have necessarily expected from her is that like it bothers her that she never really got the closure with Vader that Luke did. Like she talks about like it's really great for Luke that he was there and he was like for the last hour of his life he was Anakin Skywalker again and there was good in him, and Leia's like, that's fine, motherfucker, I never met that guy, I met the guy who fucking tortured me and killed everybody.
Yup.
And like I feel like that more than anything else like really eats at her, because like even before like she hears that recording from Bail in her keepsake chest, like
mm-hmm.
You don't really feel like they didn't get any closure, even though their relationship was ended really suddenly. Like, you get the feeling that she knows that he loved her. She knows that he knew that she loved him. And their relationship was good.
Absolutely.
Whereas Leia and Vader, just like, their relationship was purely adversarial, and Leia never got to experience a world in which that wasn't the case.
Do you think Leia's mad at Luke for that? Do you think she resents him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do. Leia, I mean, and I think it kind of rings through and rings... What's the phrase? Rings true? I think
yes.
It rings true. Thank you. Sorry. That's very not good. Even what I meant anyway. I think it resonates. There we go. That's a better word. Throughout the book that she resents Luke a little bit because it's like, can't see my kid, he doesn't answer my fucking hollows, I never like it,
he
I
never calls so
yeah like I he never calls, I'm always he sends his laundry home but I never hear from him. No,
kind
but
of
like I thought it was so telling, right? Like that obviously we get, you know, at least some communication from Han, and we at least know when Han's going to be, like, incommunicado. It's like when, I laughed, though, because I was like, it's like when people go camping, and they're like, I'm going to be out of service, don't call the cops.
Right, yeah.
So I was like, this is very that, and it
That's
probably wasn't
so true.
Supposed to be, and it's just making me giggle, but, like, I thought it was very telling that, like, we hear about Hollows from Ben and Luke, like, as these theoretical things, and yet we go through the entire book without seeing one or having Leia see one.
Yeah, we hear from them literally never.
Yeah, literally never.
Wow. I didn't even, like, put that together in my mind. That's fucking bonkers.
Yeah, one underrated subplot that I'm really looking forward to in episode 8 is Luke and Leia, because, like...
Oh, God, give it to me.
I feel like, on the one hand, like, obviously they love each other, and, like, obviously, like, Mark Hamill and, like, the late, great Carrie Fisher, like, loved each other like brother and sister, too. But I feel like there's a lot of room in that relationship for Leia to have, like, some resentment, including, like, you fucked up my son and then disappeared. That was cool.
Yeah, I can't That's help but, like, be... think that we're not gonna get what we want from that. But I think I'm probably just being a poop. But
I really think that we're just gonna leave the theater after episode 8 and everything good in the world is gonna be gone. I'm kind of worried about that.
So much.
I mean,
like in a great way. Like I have like super high hopes for this movie, but I kind of think it's gonna rip my heart right out of my chest.
I mean, it is. I have no like. There is no potential future. Like, there's no timeline in which I do not cry the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be bawling. Carrie Fisher's gonna show up on screen, and that's it. I'm just been crying for the whole rest of the movie.
I feel like I'm gonna be crying in anticipation of her showing up on the screen. Like, aww. I'm gonna be a disaster. But
I mean, I feel anyway. Like, kind of going back to how we were like, there are definitely parts of this book that we would have loved to see on screen. I feel like that's purely a testament to Carrie Fisher.
100%.
Because, like, look, no offense to Felicity Jones. I loved Felicity Jones in Rogue One. But, like, Keeks, you said, in Rebel Rising, like, there wasn't a ton where we were like, I really want to see how, like, Jyn would handle this on screen. Like, and that's nothing against Felicity Jones' acting job. I thought she did a great job, and it was a very nuanced role, what she brought to it. But, I mean, like, we want to see how Leia handles the shit on screen, because I want to see 50-year-old Carrie Fisher punching out an IMAX scene warrior and running away.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Like, yeah. Because well, I want to like see what very... she brings to that, and I'm never going to be over the fact that she's gone.
No, me neither. Well, and I don't mean this is obviously no, I love Carrie Fisher with my entire life, but I do want to give, like, just flesh out the little bit about Felicity Jones. This is so funny. We're going on in so many Star Wars related tangents. What a deviation from the norm. but I think part of why, now that I'm reflecting on it, that I kind of made that point, I think part of the reason I didn't want to see most of the Jyn stuff on screen is because Jyn's a warrior, right? It's like kind of like watching a clone or a member or like a stormtrooper or something. Like, I'm expecting her to know how to fight. Well, I don't know, I'm not like articulating this point well, but it's like the way that she fights is very like kind of expected, and she was raised by Saw, so she's very like, do what you need to do to survive, whereas Leia's very much like, do what you need to do that is right to save the day and blow up this entire planet. Not so much with Jyn. I mean, Jyn did do that as well, but it was very different. Whatever.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's like a little bit of a nuanced point, because it's like, we also know that whatever. I think just like Jyn's a little bit more predictable. There we go. Words. Jyn's a little bit more predictable in her actions then.
Yeah.
Because she's so much more driven by survival, whereas like Leia is so much more driven by her desire to do the right thing and do good.
Right. I mean, there's so much conflict in Leia between duty and doing what she wants. And I think that's what makes her really interesting in that sense.
Yeah. And one last point about chosen versus inherited family. I think what's really interesting is that Luke is kind of both, right?
Yeah.
He ends up being this chosen family at first, you know, like, you know, close friend, whatever, close kiss on the mouth, brother friend, and then we find out that they're twins, and she finds out that they're twins, and yet she harbors all of this resentment for him, and she's like, why can't I catch a fucking break? It's like, great, I liked my mom, but she's dead. My dad's an asshole. My brother made my, you know, took my kid away, and then eventually made him into Baby Vader.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's a very interesting dichotomy. She's like, how come Bale's the only good one? Like, yeah. I mean, not that Luke isn't good, but it's just like, especially as, like, I was going to say, as a mom. I'm not a mom.
yeah, that took a turn.
Yeah, that just took a turn. As a mother,
surprise,
I can see why. No, but I'm just saying, like, it's understandable that, especially after having a kid, right, you're harboring all of this kind of different new resentment from having your kid kind of quote-unquote taken away, even though it's the right thing to do, and, like, what would have happened, you know, before Order 66, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, that, like, took a weird turn.
No, like, not at all. I think one kind of aspect of, like, the chosen versus inherited family is this concept of choice versus destiny in Star Wars as a whole, which is kind of an underlying motif in the whole thing. Because, like, obviously you have Luke and, like, choosing to join the dark side or choosing to come back to the light, and, like, the fact that there was good in Anakin, so he chose to come back. And, you know, obviously, like, Anakin choosing to go to the dark side in the first place in the prequel trilogies. And, like, all these concepts of people who, of, like, good and evil, but more than being about good and evil, like, Star Wars is about the choice to be good and evil versus, like, destiny. And I feel like this family debate is kind of a part of that.
Yeah. Again, Chris has another point where being Kater, like, yeah, I don't know what to say about that. That's a great point.
I had alcohol.
I was gonna say, Kater, are you still there? I haven't heard from you in months.
Good. I'm pondering. Marinating thoughts.
What are you thinking about? Why don't you tell us?
Yeah. Well, I will, in that case, drop one more bit of knowledge, which I was actually going to leave for Kate, because Kate was the one who helped me put it in here. But this, like, concept of destiny as the will of the Force, and, like, obviously, like, the Force is, like...
I helped you put this in here?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you wrote it. You, like, literally told us today. You were like, I'm adding this to the outline.
I literally did not put that in there.
And I was
no, like, that, this wasn't today. This was, like, last week.
Oh, never mind.
Well, anyway, I swear, it happened. But basically, like, the Force, like, there's, like, pretty clear allusions to, like, the Force being, the Force is, like, whatever all-powerful being Force in whatever religion that you use. Like, for a lot of people, it's God. Like, George Lucas is Buddhist, so, like, that's why he has this, like, sense of, like, the Force of nature. But, like, this concept of, like, the will of the Force and, like, choice versus destiny really does kind of go back. It has very religious undertones to it of, like, this is what I'm born into, and this is what I choose to make of my life. And, like, do you actually have choice? How much of it is the Force making these choices for you? And, like, I don't know. That was very crystallized for me in the Bail versus Vader debate, and I feel like adds a lot to the Skywalker family dynamic, as it were.
I mean, it's very Paradise Lost, right? You know,
yeah.
How much free will do you have? How much freedom do you have? It's interesting.
Kate was an English major.
In case you couldn't tell.
Anakin bit the apple.
She reads books. I was an English minor. I don't really read books.
You read these books.
That's the difference.
You read Star Wars.
I read these books. I read some books in college. Don't ask me about them. I read lots of Hemingway, and Kate hates Hemingway, so we have a lot to talk about.
Oh my god, oh, yeah. That could be a whole podcast by itself, how much...
okay.
I know, I'm gonna start a podcast with Kate called Kate Hates Hemingway.
Guys, we're gonna take... We should take a Twitter poll if I should read Heir to the Jedi again, or if I should just read Old Man and the Sea again, which would be more painful.
Damn.
Old Man and the Sea. God damn it, you people.
Anyway... We can leave it there with me shitting on a great American author.
Whatever, he was a shithead. I'm not here to argue for him not being a shithead. Most great American male authors were big ol' shitheads.
Accurate.
So.
But anyway, so this...
That's what made them great American authors, usually.
Yep.
Kind of.
Patriarchy.
That was a problematic statement. I'll edit that out, except for I won't, because now I'm not allowed to edit out anything that I say, because I didn't edit out something Kate wanted me to.
You know, fuck you.
God, we made it so close without getting off the rails, guys. We were so close. We were like 30 seconds away.
Sorry. It's me
and Kate. Anyway, so this is...
Get off on any weird tangents, so we're doing it now, right at the end.
Exactly. So... This kind of marks the end of us reading Bloodline, but kind of like we did the Rebel Rising, we do want to have a wrap-up episode, like, talk about some background material, maybe, like, watch one of the movies again, talk about how we see it differently based on this book. I know we're going to be tweeting out a few links later this week. One of them is going to be Scorched, the short story that was written about Greer's Racing Days by Delilah S. Dawson, who is another wonderful Star Wars author. So look forward to that. We'll be tweeting that out and talking about it next week. And also, just if you have, again, one more call for if you have any thoughts about, just general thoughts about Leia, about Bloodline, about the Star Wars universe that you want us to talk about, we would love to hear your questions. We already have one Twitter follower question that we're excited to talk about, and we would love to have more.
And a comment. Yeah. We have a comment.
Say, and a comment. And a comment.
Shout out to Alex. We'll plug all of your... We got a lot of great Twitter questions, and we'll plug all of those handles if you want to read about geeky shit on their timelines. But
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Shout out to Alex for her great question, especially because she hasn't read all the way through yet, and she's still trying to follow along. Like, thanks for being a good fan.
Way to keep up with the homework. Love it.
You're so awesome.
And I'm calling out Miranda at Real Baby Bird because she will. Literally text me good questions all day, and I'm like, I don't know as much about Star Wars as Kate and Chris do. Can you please, please, please tweet at the podcast? Because we will talk about it on air, and it makes us really happy, and I'm not the one to answer your questions. Generally in a vacuum. It's supposed to be Kate and Chris. So, Miranda, please tweet us your questions at Book Wars Pod.
Wow, you've really called her out. Damn.
Wow, savage.
Hey, I don't care.
Name, Twitter handle, everything. Listen. Shit. All right, Keats is not.
It's time.
Keats is not fucking around.
Also, my good... Yeah, I was going to say, my good buddy... I'm just plugging people who have talked to us so that other people think that they'll get plugged no matter what. And my good buddy Rob brought us, like, a cool, really cool, kind of English nerdy... like, what is that word that talks about word meanings, Kate? I can't think of it right now because I've had 32 ounces of beer. Etymology?
Entomological.
Great. I found it. he brought us some, like, great etymology nerdiness about some names that I think are probably pretty correct.
I'm just going to like, English major jam on that next episode, so get ready.
Oh, it's going to be great. Now, I have a shout-out.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out to my tattoo artist, Kim Ewell, who is the best and hooked me up with some absolutely fire Star Wars tattoos that are currently healing on my arm. And once they heal, I'll tweet out a picture so you all can see. But they're amazing, and Kim Ewell is a genius. If you're ever in the Washington, D.C. area, you should totally look her up because she's great and nerdy and hopefully listening to this podcast at some point because I emailed it to her.
She was voted one of the best tattoo artists in the DMV, so
are
definitely
your
at her.
Open
well deserved.
In October, because I'll be in DC, and you can do my Star Wars tattoo if I pay you money to do it. Anyway,
Keeks, if you want, I'll email her for you and copy you if you want to get on her schedule.
Thank you. I'm getting somebody to hopefully do the art, but I would rather get it done among you, and just be so sore that whole weekend.
Yeah, right.
While we're sitting around watching Star Wars.
And then hop on a germ-filled plane so you can get all up in your open wound.
Yeah, yep. Listen, I got direct flights to DC this time. I don't mean to brag, but I bought them with my points. So
nice.
I'm not flying in the middle of the night. I'm not flying through Detroit. Don't at me. For once, I'm flying into DCA during the day. One in
nice.
A row.
All right, last point, and then we're actually going to wrap up this pod. We try to give you a good amount of notice for what our next books are, so you can line up getting them at your library, your bookstore. But after we do our Bloodline wrap-up next week, we are going to take a one-week break from the novels, and we're actually going to read some of the Marvel comic books that they've been coming out with for the last few years. Because they honestly add a ton to the Star Wars universe, and since they're comic books, they aren't really mentioned that much. And we are all about the different media of Star Wars and what they bring to the universe, so we want to make sure that we're represented in there. So we are going to be reading Volume 1 of the Star Wars comic, Skywalker Strikes. Sorry, name of the volume is Skywalker Strikes. The overall comic is just Star Wars. It's written by Jason Aaron. Comics are weird. They've got titles and subtitles and volume numbers. But anyway, Star Wars Volume 1, Skywalker Strikes, as well as the Darth Vader comic, Volume 1, which is just named Vader. It's written by Kieran Gillen. One note, there is actually a new Darth Vader comic that is coming out right now that, as far as I'm aware, is actually also called Darth Vader. We mean the one that came out back in 2015. And so all of Volume 1 is out. Both of these should be very easy to find in your local comic book store, your local library, If you go online, you can get a Marvel Unlimited subscription to read them there. So there's plenty of ways to get them. But anyway, you have a couple weeks to do that, and I think that's it. So
yeah, I was going to say, speaking of comics, and I'm just going to do one more plug, because at Molly the Ghost is one of our very best friends, and she was at, what was she at, Kate? She was at some kind of, like, I don't know. She was at something cool this weekend where she,
yeah.
Like, she was like, there are Star Wars comics for a dollar. Do you guys want them? And me and Kate were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. Please give me as many as you can. So she did.
Accurate.
She's the best. Yes. So they're, I don't know whether or not they're even canon or what they are, but.
They are.
Are they? They're, oh shit, nice.
They're the Poe Dameron comics, which we'll read eventually.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Awesome, awesome. Shout out to Molly for just being the dang best and always looking out for us, and also for getting us cool shit to put on our coffee tables, because that is good friendship.
Yep. All the plugs today, a lot of friends of the pod.
One more plug. I would like to dedicate this episode to our dearly departed hamster Boba Pet.
we talked about extensively last episode,
and since then he's died, and it's really sad.
Yes, dedicated to his unexpected passing.
Yeah, poor babe. He was a great one. His Instagram is still there if you guys want to go check it out, because he was a cutie. He was a great boy, and I'm his godmother, even though I don't believe in God. And you know, we love him. Just to keep the levity here, we might do some polls about what the next little furball should be.
Yes, named. Please.
We may. Yes. We'll see.
Let the will of the pod.
Yes. And if you need
some pretty good names. So. Yes.
If you need any inspiration, please feel free to pay your respects on Instagram at Boba Pet Ham.
Yeah, he's a great little guy. And send your love to Kate and Chris. You know, via the At Bookworth Pod or their handles. You know, we're all hoping for happier days ahead, but he's up in that big wheel in the sky now, as they say.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, aww. On that note, we actually ended like 10 minutes ago and then we got off on tangents, but thank you all for listening to another great episode of the Book Wars podcast. We are again thrilled that you all are listening and really overwhelmed with the response. Please do, if you like the podcast, A, send us questions, interact with us on Twitter. At Avenger at Heart knows that we do respond to you on Twitter because she has sent us questions and comments and we're responding to her. So be like her.
That's our girl, Alex.
Yeah. So, A, interact with us on Twitter, at BookWarsPod. But B, also, if you could, please do rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. It's really great for helping people discover the show, helping us spread our podcast around, and, you know, hopefully get more people into the Star Wars books. For Kate and Kristen, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.